Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 104th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Makra Meng. She was 5 years old and living in Cambodia in 1975 when Pol Pot's army began emptying cities and forcing citizens into agricultural labor while killing roughly 2 million citizens, roughly a quarter of the Cambodian population at the time. She and her mother eventually found their way to a refugee camp in Thailand before winning the green card lottery and coming to the United States by way of the Philippines. She has lived an industrious life and has contributed a whole lot to this community, which is why she was recognized last weekend at the Empower the Immigrant Woman Conference as a trailblazer. It is such a pleasure to have you here today, Makra.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun in the house today. Your kids are here too, enjoying this from the next room, aren't they?
They are. They call themselves my assistants, so that's why everywhere I go, they tend to come along.
Well, thank you to the assistants. I love it. So, do you have any memories from your early life before the Khmer Rouge changed everything for you and your family?
Growing up, I was very close to my father. I got a chance to go around town with him at night. We had moved from the village to the capital because of seeking job. So at night, I would ride with him on a bicycle, and then we'd go to a street market, night market. The best thing would be tasting all kinds of food and dessert pretty much every night of the week.
Really?
Yeah.
So after he worked as a police officer, he'd come home,
and then I would be his loving daughter.
Yeah.
That's my treat of the day. Yeah.
He sounds like a sweet dad.
Very.
And you had a brother too, right?
I have an older brother. Different age was 15 years different.
Oh, right. It's quite different.
Quite, yeah.
You were forced to adapt to a very harsh set of conditions after huge losses. And I wonder what it was that helped you to get through that time in your life when everything changed.
Well, being Buddhist, faith is very strong within my childhood. We believe in faith, and also we also believe in hard working. I felt a sense of not completing my mission on earth or something. That's why I'm still alive. And not to give up, continue to go on. And I try to always share my past, even though it's very difficult, but I tend to share because I feel it's very important. And now that I have children, I also wanted them to understand where I'm from and how difficult life and how not to take things for granted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kinds of things do you tell them? Do you have stories from that time that help them to understand?
Yeah, quite a bit. Quite a bit. And most recently, since talking, having on panels and stuff, I opened a lot. So they knew who their mother was, how difficult life were. While they were looking to go to McDonald's, and I said, I couldn't even have a cricket for, cricket would be my luxury meal or something like that. So it's a different conversation that we have during our meal times.
How many years did you live finding your meals as they appeared to you?
To be exact number would be 3.5 years, but I felt like like more than that, because from Pol Pot region was 3.5 years, and then we were on the border, Thai border, another 3 years. So
yeah,
whatever we find is luxury.
What other kinds of things besides crickets could you find to eat?
Grass.
Grass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any kind of fruit. I eat anything I can get my hands on. At one time I had a fever, and then I believe that when you have malaria or fever, you can't eat guava. But because I was so hungry, I ate guava, and having ate the guava, I'm supposed to be dead. But I didn't, so then I was called that I was possessed by some witch spirit.
Really? Because you could eat guava while you had a fever?
That's what they believe, that you can't do that.
I guess guava is better than nothing.
Exactly. Oh, it was a luxury, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It's hard to imagine. Has that changed how you eat now?
No, but I would, my biggest fear is having seas. I don't want to see anyone going home or going to bed hungry. So that's the biggest thing, is going to bed hungry or going to bed worried. It's because that's influencing my childhood. And also if I see any children have no food, my heart will break, and I tend to give without just fulfill that need.
Yes, and later you run your own market, which means not only do you have enough, but you have enough to share with the community.
Exactly.
Oh, that's yep. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
We are coming up on World Refugee Day, which is celebrated in Portland on both June 4th with a big celebration and the 20th with another celebration, different kind, which I will say more about later. But for now, I wondered if you'd be willing to tell us about your life and what it was like for you at the KID refugee camp around 1980.
KID stands for Kawidang. It's the camp, United Nations camp right in Thai border. Getting to that camp, I have to cross river. I have to walk through landfill.
With landmines?
Landmine for days.
Oh, how scary.
So finally we got there. For me and my mother was a journey, but also a very successful journey, because we finally make it there and left Cambodia, where it was hell for 4 years, to came to a place that have clean water, food, medicine. They also established school for children. And then later, maybe 6 or a year later, we established a Buddhist temple. It's quite amazing. During the time, I would call it heaven on earth, because everything was there. Sometime, if we lucky, we got donated clothes by Catholic Church, I believe. Yeah. So we got some new clothes.
Wow.
Right.
So you found the UNHCR camp to be heaven on earth.
Yes.
After what you'd been through.
Yeah.
It made it look really good. You know, sometimes we think of refugee camps as a place where there's almost nothing, but compared to what you had, it was heaven.
It was heaven, because for my 3 year during Khmer Rouge, I believe I only had 2 pairs of clothes. I would wear my clothes while they're wet, while they're dry. I just had 1 pair. And the philosophy of Pol Pot was, when Angkor saw it that you need, then you get a new pair. So it have to be rags that they see through your body part, then you get a new pair.
Yeah.
So,
Pol Pot was opposed to anyone looking or being educated, as I understand. And so people would try not to look educated, I understand. Even just wearing glasses could have made you look as if you were educated and gotten you killed.
Not just wearing glasses. My dad was Chinese, so he have light skin. He's being executed by the leader. My brother, who's college student, after he's being used of document names and all that stuff, he's being educated. So it's very close call.
Yes. Yeah. And I wonder how that carries over. You know, if you're trying very hard not to look like you're educated there, when you get here, do you feel safe to indulge in education, or do you hold back, wondering, you know, if that makes you stick out?
My life is pretty contradicted to myself when that topic up, because at one hand, I wanted to better myself by going to school, by having education. In the other hand, that nightmare constantly chased me, knowing for facts that my dad, police officer, educated by a Chinese, my brother. So I don't have to go far about being worried every single day, but that's the thing that I've been fighting. But after being here for so long, 32 years to be exact, it go away. And now I become a lot stronger because my children. And I don't want them to, they have to help themselves well. And education is the only tool that better themselves. Yeah.
So you advocate for their educations.
Yes.
Yes. Which is something your mom was really conflicted about.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
You were totally unprepared for this climate, for our money system, and you knew very little English upon arrival. How did you know how to start your own sewing business right out of the gates?
Stubbornness. I met my boss who's still ran Unwrap company in Lowell, Massachusetts. And their first client is Whole Foods down the street, somewhere here. I met him at a textile store, and he said he came in and looking for sample to sew. And then he said, I'm taking this product to China and Mexico. That was in 1984. And I said, you what? Do you have this stuff sold? I can give you production line. And he said, are you serious? And I said, well, yeah, I can sew. And you buy this stuff, you buy this, and then I can make you sample. And from there, I became his sewer, designer, line manager.
You're just kind of a legend. Everything you touch, it's like you spin it to gold. You've done.
It's been that company is now it's a 20-year-old company, and it's very. They have contract for Air Force and Navy and all over. So it's a well-known Unwrap incorporation in Lowell, Massachusetts. He and I still contact, so it's a good,
good relation. You were in Lowell, Massachusetts for a while, which is, you said, the third largest population of Cambodians in this country.
Second
largest.
Yes.
But there's a healthy Cambodian community here too, isn't there?
Yes. Here, I don't know the exact number, but we have two grocery stores owned by Cambodia right now. We have a Buddhist temple in Buxton's. I believe there's a good amount here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have done so many things, not just designing and producing with your sewing skills, but you've worked at JCPenney, worked as a translator. You ran your own Cambodian grocery store on the East End for a while. And now you have your own egg roll business called Let's Roll. All while being a single mother, raising four children, and taking care of your mother until 3 years ago. So how on earth do you do it all?
Surviving Cambodian genocide, and also being a workaholic is my trait, I guess.
amazing. What keeps you going? You know, you work and take care of kids, and you're a member of the community that participates wholeheartedly.
A sense of soothing. Of course, I love food. So when I make egg roll, I have my neighbor sample. I have the community samples. I live in the Red Bank area. So once a month, we have a community dinner. And then every 6 months or so, we have a potluck. So I make that. And they said, oh, this is very good. It's a different taste. And I said, good, then you want to order, I can make it for you. It's made from fresh ingredients. And that's what the key thing is, the fresh ingredient. And then, of course, I add my charming, kind, and loving effects into it. So that's make it
excellent.
It make it Makara style. It's not somebody else. And it's not a big manufacturer's thing. So it's important that it's Makara, and then from me to you. That's yes. The whole thing. And the kid likes it.
And if people wanted to order some platter of egg rolls for an upcoming party, how would they reach you?
They would call me, my cell phone number, 207-807-0999, or they can email to midpip5@gmail.com, and midpip spell MITPHEAP number 5.
Great. And I will link to that on my website as well if you want to get that, but you were driving down the road when you heard it.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to WMPG, and if you're just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Makara Meng. She is a woman who has overcome much adversity, starting when she was a child in Cambodia, experiencing genocide there. Just last week, Makara was honored as a trailblazer at the first annual Empower the Immigrant Woman Conference. Thank you for coming in to talk about that experience with us, Makara. Listeners may remember my interview with organizer Mufalu Chittum on March 6th, and we talked about this conference and its inspiration. And I wonder how this whole event worked out. What was that like for you?
It went well because I liked it. I get a chance to meet. It's a great resource network for both empowerless women to become empowered, gain on their self-esteem. We wanted to show them that it is very difficult coming to a new country, but it's also doable because America is a great country. America have great opportunity, and navigating the system that's already in place here. I am very grateful that I'm being a part of it, and I wish and continue to support that program because each and every one of us is unique. Whether you're a student, whether you're a mother, whether you're a sister, working force, I don't believe I would having a difficulty grabbing someone and getting to know them and have them share their uniqueness. So that Mofalo organizer is really great. I was very pleased. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand over 200 women were in attendance for a number of panels, and then in the evening there was a big gala event, and one of the women commented in this way. She said, "Women who have felt or were actually powerless in their own nations can become powerful in the United States." And I think that really speaks to the mission to empower, educate, and inspire people who are new can come and see people like you. And you know, you came with no English and very little resources, and yet you made wonderful things happen. And so it gives them inspiration.
Definitely. I agree with that. Yeah.
You said the most important thing to you is that people be kind to one another. And I wonder how the conference supported that, in your opinion.
For those of us who've been here longer, we've been through the road. We learn the information and we get the resource. So it's very, by being kind and welcome the new immigrant, it will also give them a sense of assurance. It's very easy to relate to, I'm Cambodian. If I see a new Cambodian come in and I will say, this is how it go. This is where you go to school. It's so this road will lead you to this end journey, destiny. It will give them a sense of confidence, because trusting barrier is very hard. I know that growing up here, I met all white people. They are very kind to me, except that I don't understand what they're saying. So it make it very difficult. That's I think that's the message that Empower Woman wanted to enforce.
Yeah. What was the gala evening like? I was there for the panels earlier in the day, and they were rich and full of content, but the pictures I saw from the gala looked like a lot of fun.
Very, very different. I never witnessed any other cultures dancer and drummer. There was a Sudanese dancer. I couldn't take my eye off their foot because they were young teenagers, boys and girls. So they train very well. So their movement of their foot, and they have belt on. And then there was two lady with this gigantic drum. I know, I was like, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, all these sounds came out. So it's quite an experience. It's very hard to describe. I'm not a great person to describe things, but it's very moving, soothing moment.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a feast too, yes?
A little bit, yes. Yeah.
Well, that's great. And did people come in traditional clothing to the event?
Most people, and for us, Tri-Blazer, we all have our own traditional clothes. I have to re-sew my dress because it doesn't fit
as well as it once did. Luckily, you have some good sewing skills. So tell us a little bit more about Let's Roll, your egg roll business, and what you hope becomes of that business over time. What's your dream for that business?
Again, Let's Roll is the special order, but it's worth more of your money because right now it doesn't have an overhead. So you get more for your money. And Let's Roll is all ingredient that you choose to be chicken, shrimp, vegetable of your kind. So I have not had a chance to create a website or something. So this is very new. It just started 3 weeks ago.
Just rolling it out.
It's a great summer job for my two older son. Great job, great projects. My goal for this is to have it as a full-time job so I can be flexible with my children and also have a job instead of going out and work for other company. Not that I against that, but I need to be flexible, and it's not fair for any employee to have me that when it's time for one of my kids call and I say I have to go now, because I tend to have that habit. But because of their need.
Yes.
The two oldest, as many of you that don't know, they are autistic. So as much as I wanted to have my schedule concrete, things can change. And then the youngest two, he's 9 and 6. That's also can be flexible. And being single mom is a bit challenging. But I want to do this so I can make it doable.
Yeah. It's a creative way to solve your problem.
Exactly.
To be flexible and productive at the same time.
Exactly. Thank you.
Makra, you are a courageous and tenacious woman. I really admire your willingness to talk about your life in Cambodia and as a refugee, because I realize it's not the cultural norm, yet I so appreciate learning firsthand about your experiences so that I can better understand what you have been through. It makes you an even more remarkable person in my view, and I thank you very much for coming in the studio today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Makra Meng. Would you be so kind as to introduce the song you have chosen for this program today?
The song that I chose today is called Wake Me Up by Justin Ross.
Justin Rhodes.
Justin Rhodes, thank you.
Yeah, Wake Me Up. And why did you choose this song?
Well, it's really a good... A good opportunity. It tend to, I think the lyric connect with me very well. So it's the right time. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me that I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes, and that's fine by me. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I finding myself, but I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself, but I didn't know I was lost. Tried carrying the weight of the world, but I'm only just one man. Hope I get a chance to travel the world, but I don't have any plans. Wish that I could stay forever this year.